For years, I was so fed up with shampoo, I just stopped washing my hair. I quit completely. I was so sick of poofy, frizzy, limp hair, distorting my natural oils. Until a few months ago, I found Modern Mammals, and it changed everything. And by the way, right now you can visit modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. So check that out. So look, I heard about this through the podcast, and before I agreed to advertise, they sent it to me, and I was reluctant. But let me tell you, I should not have been. This stuff is absolutely magical. My hair felt better, smelled way better, and most importantly, looked better. And I know it will do the same for you as well. It doesn't have those hair-ruining chemicals like other products, and it doesn't leave any leftover residues. It works. Don't believe me? Go read their awesome reviews online as well. Go to modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use our promo code LSS so they know we sent you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the podcast. Oh yeah, it's called Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, as always, Shane Told, taking you into the backstage conversations that I have with other lead singers from all different walks of life and locations, including another guest from Australia. It worked out really nicely. I was in Australia for a couple weeks on tour with Silverstein, supporting Australian metalcore legends, the Amity Affliction. And, you know, I feel like over the years, it's been tough to get on the phone with Australian artists because the time difference is psycho. You know, you're looking at like basically like a 12-hour time difference. So there's not really ever a good time to chat, you know, during business hours, if you will. So I took the opportunity to talk to Stevie from Clowns last week. Phenomenal episode. What a band. Check them out. And today I'm super excited to finally bring you Michaela from Yours Truly, someone I've been trying to get on the show, and she's been down too. But it just has not worked out just with the time difference, everything. So I'm in Australia. I'm like, let's do it. Let's talk to some Aussie guests. And this is a great, honest chat with Michaela. She rules. The band rules. You probably already are all about them. But if not, don't sleep. This is a newish band. Not too many releases yet, but they're coming. And just so much talent here. So super excited for this one. Stay tuned. Can't wait. But before we get into that, a few orders of business, if you will. I want to remind everybody that my band Silverstein is going on tour in Canada and the US. It's a short tour. It's only 18 shows. And we're playing our album, This Is How the Wind Shifts, in its full entirety. And yeah, it's going to be exciting because this is not something we're ever going to do again. We're just going to play these songs once in major markets in the US and Canada, and then that's it. The venues are relatively small too. There's some tickets left, but they're going to go fast. So make sure you grab your tickets, silversteinmusic.com We got VIP on there as well. It's awesome. And of course, we're not just playing that record. We're playing all the hits and everything else and having a whole bunch of fun. It's a big, long show. And we have support from two incredible bands, Stray From The Path. Oh, yeah. Got to get Drew on the show. And Avoid, an awesome newer band too. So good. So yes, check it out. Tickets again, silversteinmusic.com. You don't want to miss it. And if you see me, you know, like roaming around a parking lot or something like that, make sure you say what's up as well. Also, if you want to support this thing, we got the All Access Club. It's always there. If you want more content, if you want more interaction with me and other fans of the show and be a part of a really cool community, check it out, leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. Just for a price of I used to say expensive coffee. Now it's kind of like a mid coffee price to get in the club per month. So check it out. Again, leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. And if you want to get in touch with me anyway, you can hit me up, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I read all my emails. I'm happy to see what suggestions you have for upcoming guests or anything else at all. And that's about it. So yeah, let's get into it, huh? Here it is, my conversation with Michaela Delgado of Yours Truly. Michaela, what's up?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm a little tired this morning, and apparently some alarms are going to go off during our conversation, but we're going to roll with it. It's going to be great.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, hopefully it's not too bad.
Yeah, who knows? It's like, yeah, it's just to tell the people, because like full transparency, full honesty, I know that's how you roll, and that's how I'm going to roll too. I am in Australia, in Melbourne, and Michaela and I planned to talk right now, and right as I was confirming with her, a note got slid under my door that they're going to be testing the fire alarms literally right now. So it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a wild adventure, or we won't hear anything for like the next 45 minutes, which I'm hoping.
Yeah.
So you are at home in Sydney. So like, not that far from me, like, well, it's still really far, but, you know, in the same country. And you guys are gearing up to go to Indonesia. Is that right? Tomorrow for a festival?
Yeah, I go to Indonesia tomorrow. I've never been before. I am kind of nervous.
Yeah, it's a little sketchy. What part are you going to?
Jakarta.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you kind of never know what you're going to get. I'm just being, again, completely transparent. We've gotten there, and it's been like the most professional thing ever. Like they've picked us up, and you know, they've like, I don't know, taken us to like an amazing restaurant and like checked us in the hotel, and you know, and like everything's been amazing and the stage was perfect. And then we've had them pick us up from the airport and like drive us around in a bus, like in a circle, because like something's not ready, and not communicate with us. And then like get there and there's like bare wires sticking out of the stage, and like it's dangerous. And then, you know, like, oh, people are stealing our rider, and you know, and it's just like a terrible hotel. So it could really be the two extremes. So I hope you get the first one.
I really hope so. I mean, like, to be fair, the other one sounds like a good story,
right?
But like, it's fine. Like, I always feel like those shows and those tours always bring like the best stories, even though at the time you're just like, this is so shit.
It's so true. But, you know, I'll tell you though, like, Indonesia has some of the craziest fans. Like, get ready, because they're going to somehow find out what time your flight's landing, and they're going to be at the airport. They're going to have signs. They're going to be welcoming you to Indonesia, and they're so passionate. So, I mean, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So that's going to be awesome. And also it's with MXPX. So
yeah,
legends.
It's so cool.
Amazing.
I'm very excited. Even though I know I said I was nervous, but at the same time, I'm like, I am super, super excited for it. It will be really good.
Nice. Nice. Well, of course I'm here with Michaela from Yours Truly. And thank you so much. We've been chatting about doing this for like I want to say like a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
Where did I run into you? I ran into you. Was it Slam Dunk in the UK?
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're finally doing it, but it's kind of crazy because at the time I was like, oh no, we should have done it, whatever. Now it's like, I feel like there's so much more to talk about and it's been like an absolute whirlwind for you in that like year and a half since I saw you.
Yeah.
Like you guys are going so hard right now.
Yeah. It's been very full on and it has gone very quickly as well. Like I look back to like, you know, that Slam Dunk day and I'm like, so much has happened. So much has changed within that time as well, which I'm grateful that we're still doing it and we're still here and stuff like that. But yeah, it's been definitely very hectic.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, it's been kind of a wild career. And I almost kind of want to start at the beginning because, you know, obviously, like, so much of what you were doing got derailed by like COVID and everything.
Yeah.
You know, and you've spoken very freely, very honestly about all that. But maybe before we talk about all that, maybe just get me into like the very beginnings of Michaela Delgado and like, you know, where you were born, what was your upbringing like, you know, how did you, you know, discover music and how did that become such a big part of your life?
Okay. So I was born in Sydney, Western Sydney to be exact. I come from, my dad, he was born in Uruguay and moved over to Australia when he was young. So I have, I really learned like a lot about like hard work from him and kind of, you know, I guess coming from, yeah, like hard work and wanting to work towards something. And I guess when I was a kid, my parents said that I always sung and like I was always really into music and I was always making up songs and like singing these random things that made no sense. So yeah, they put me in like dancing and stuff like that. But they quickly learned that I was not a dancer because I was diagnosed with a condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Okay.
Which is like a connective tissue disorder. And I then got really into music. And it was something that I felt very passionate about singing about. So then I started writing these songs about this condition that I had and the pain that I was in. And I didn't really want to do anything else from then on. Like I was not academic. I did not like school. And all I wanted to do was be in a band. So I spent like my whole like high school, like, you know, life going to shows like on the weekends and kind of wanting to start bands in high school. And that was always my the thing that I wanted to do. I then joined a band when I was about like 14, 15. And the guys in the band were like a lot older than me and they were already touring. And I remember being 15. Yeah. Going on my first ever tour around Australia. And my parents actually took turns coming with me.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like my big joke is that like, I've been to all the, like the emo Australian nightclubs, like before I was 18. but yeah, so I was doing that for a while. And then I think I got to an age where I was like, I really want to start something from scratch. I want to do what I want to do. And I want to do it with people that are my age and that, you know, kind of, yeah, like kind of have a little bit more control over what I'm doing.
Sure.
And was when I met Teddy when we were about 17. I met him on Facebook and I asked him if he wanted to start a band. And that was kind of how yours truly started.
That's cool. So going back a little bit. So, first of all, I mean, there's so much there to unpack. Like obviously having that connective tissue disorder, I didn't catch the name of the disorder that you said.
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
You know, having that at a young age, I mean, that must have been really tough for you and probably your parents too. Is this something that you still deal with?
Yeah, definitely. It's something that like I was born with and I'll have forever. So I really don't know like what it's like to not have it or to not have the pain or anything like that. And it's not really something that like I completely struggled with until I got older. Like it's getting worse as I get older.
Oh boy.
So I'm very prone to like dislocating things on stage and like having to learn how to like manage it. But like sometimes I just go like that little bit too hard on tour and then I like kind of regret it. But at the same time, like, I don't know, I kind of just push it a lot.
Right. I've seen you in action. I mean, yeah, you go hard. I mean, it's, you know, you're feeling the energy. It's, I know sometimes you're like, you want to stop. You know, you don't want to take, you know, like, I shouldn't go harder. I shouldn't take it to the next level. I shouldn't stand on this. I shouldn't get in the crowd, whatever it is. And it's like, but I'm here right now. I'm in the moment. Like, you can't not.
Totally. And I feel like you can feel any way before you get on stage. Like, another symptom is like fatigue. Could be so tired and so much pain. And as soon as I'm on stage, everything just away. Like, one, like, and all of a sudden, like, you feel like you're.
I'm losing you a little bit. You're a little choppy right now. I don't know if something changed on your end, but
maybe Scott.
It's probably my shitty hotel Wi-Fi. So, but yeah, let's just, you know, we'll keep going. We'll see if it doesn't get better. I'll call you back.
Okay. I just got internet as well. Like it also.
You just got, sorry. It is choppy. You just got what?
Got new internet.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, it's been like amazing up until like right now. So I don't know.
Oh, damn. Is it okay?
No, let me just call you back real quick, okay? Okay. 1 second.
Hello?
We'll give it a try.
Okay.
No, it's probably my end, honestly, so don't even worry about it.
That's fine.
This is the pitfalls of, you know, of podcasting and free content, and, you know, it is what it is. We'll make it work. We can edit.
Oh, good.
So yeah, just go ahead, go back a little bit and we'll cut it in.
I'll try and move this thing. A symptom of it is chronic fatigue. So there are some days where I'm like super tired and exhausted and I'm in a lot of pain. But for some reason, like when I get on stage, I think it's like the adrenaline like hits you and all of a sudden you feel like really good.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You kind of forget. So that definitely helps.
Amazing. Amazing. So, okay. So, you know, you got really immersed into music at a young age. What was like the band you heard or the song you heard or whatever it was that was like, I don't know, that really like, you know, made you decide like, I want to like actually do this. Like I want to start something or I want to write a song or all like, what was the music that in your early years?
I remember being with my cousin and she is older than me. So she was in that like whole like MySpace era. And I always thought she was really cool and she always had cool outfits on. And she showed me Paramore and Bring Me the Horizon like in the same day. And I remember my mind was just blown. Where we just sat there like in like those computer rooms with the computer and we were like going through YouTube videos and just watching them live. And I just fell in love with like, you know, alternative rock music. And all of a sudden I just like wanted to find out about every band possible. I then really got into Tonight Alive.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just like went from there. I just became like obsessed with going on YouTube and finding new bands. And I wanted to know about every single band that existed. And then I just wanted to be in a band. So then it kind of came from there. I think I would have been maybe like 11 when I found out about this style of music.
Right, right. Okay. Pretty yeah, because you're born in, I looked it up, you're born in 98.
Yes, I'm 25.
So- You're 25, so this would have been like 2009-ish. Yes, I'm just trying to think of like, oh, what music were those bands putting out, you know, around that time? That's super cool. I mean, Tonight Alive, obviously being a band from Sydney, female fronted. Jenna's a good friend of mine. She's the best.
Yeah.
Was that sort of, I mean, that must have been inspiring too, not just that, oh, it's like a band I like with a girl singer, but a band that's successful all over the world from the same city as me.
Totally.
I mean, you know, a lot of times, like, I'm from Canada too, so it's like, it's a little bit far removed. Like, I'm not from California, you know, or like London or somewhere where like bands are from, you know, it's like, it's a lot harder when you're from a place like this. But if you have that inspiration, it kind of shows that it's possible.
100%. I think that's definitely the thing of like, feel like being a woman is already making it so much harder to, especially at that time when, you know, Tonight Alive were doing it, that there wasn't a lot of females in, like, in this style of music. So I think that she was one of the only examples. Obviously, like, you know, there was, like, you know, Paramore. I remember there was, like, We're the In Crowd, mm-hmm. and a lot of those bands. But I remember that Tonight Alive was the only band that I could go and actually watch, like, here in Sydney. And it was the only band that kind of, I definitely felt like I could connect with that part that she was Australian. She was from Sydney. And I remember going to see them play their album release show for What Are You So Scared Of? And I actually met Jenna there. And I remember having this conversation with her, and I was like, oh, I really want to be in a band. And she was like, yeah, you should totally do it. And I remember, like, seeing her, like, years later, like, I think it was at Unify. And I told her about that conversation, and it was just a really nice moment.
Oh, I know. She's an absolute sweetheart. Yeah. And the way she interacts with fans and well, just everybody, really, she's so genuine. And like, kind of like, after, you know, doing research for this and seeing it, I do see a lot of her in you. Which is, like, obviously, I think that's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
But that's amazing. That's so cool that it's, like, kind of all come, like, full circle. That's kind of like a pinch me moment, isn't it?
Totally. And I don't think it's, like, just me either. I think that especially the Sydney, like, band pop punk scene has a lot of women in it. And I do think that a lot of that does come from Jenna, because she definitely paved the way, mm-hmm. For, yeah, like, women in this country. She was the only one that was doing it for a very long time. So I think that...
And also, yeah, sorry, I cut you off, but also at such a young age too, right?
Yeah, totally. And she, yeah, like, it was such a... Yeah, from such a young age, and they did so much so quickly that, you know, and she, I guess, you know, with what she's doing now as well, I think that she's just shown so much resilience and, like, a lot of hard work. And I think that's very inspiring to watch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So you're 17, you're into, like, all these, I'll just call them, like, scene bands. You message Teddy on Facebook and you get together, and, like, so what happened? You just started writing songs. Like, did you know kind of right away that it was something special?
I think that we were just super excited at the time. I think that we kind of sat down, we were working on, there was a whole bunch of songs that I had brought from my previous band. And there was kind of, like, this vision that I had that I remember talking to Teddy about. I remember us, like, sitting, like, in his house, and we're having this conversation and talking about the bands that we liked. And he's showing me, like, bands like Basement and Citizen. And I'm showing him bands like, I can't even remember, like, super, like, pop punk bands.
Yeah.
And I think we both came from, like, very different sides of this alternative world. And then, like, you know, I started falling in love. Like, Basement are now, like, one of my favorite bands. And I probably wouldn't know who they were,
sure,
you know, if it wasn't for him. And so, yeah, I remember us kind of talking about, like, what my vision was, and then hearing about what his vision was. And even though we came from, like, different backgrounds, we both kind of just wanted to play shows, and we both wanted to go overseas, and we both wanted to, like, live that experience of the bands that we had looked up to. Like, we wanted to do the whole, like, put out a record and do, like, a signing at a record store, and, like, all those things that, like, you know, in that era of, like, magazines and YouTube and stuff, that you just constantly watch these video diaries of these bands. And that was just, like, what we wanted to do. So I think that once we, you know, kind of became really good friends, and that we were on the same page with that, then we kind of then just started, like, building a band up around that. And, you know, we've, you know, yours truly has had, you know, different members, like, in, like, you know, on drums and stuff like that. But Teddy and I have always kind of been there from the beginning. So it's nice that we still kind of have that, you know, that vision, even though, like, things have changed, and we've, you know, we've done a lot of the things that we said that we wanted to do, but I guess, so, you know, the vision changes.
Of course.
As you kind of tick boxes.
Yeah. Well, you've ticked a lot of boxes already, you know, in a few years.
Yeah.
But how did you tick that first big box, which is, like, what every kid dreams about, which is, you know, getting signed, you know, and, like, getting your music out there and, like, getting discovered? How did that come about? How did that start?
So, we were playing shows around Australia. We had one EP out at the time and we wrote this song called High Hopes. And it was like the easiest song we've ever written in our career. Like it was just this song that like came together in a band practice and we're like, yeah, that will work. I was like, I'll probably change the lyrics, but I was lazy and I didn't.
that's classic. I love that. That is like lead singer syndrome 101 right there. I love that.
Yeah. I was like, they work. Like, you know, they're not the best lyrics. I'm like, you could be my hero. Like, that kind of sucks, but I'm just going to like, I can't be bothered to change it. And we just kind of like, yeah, we just started playing this song at these shows because we started getting offered like longer sets and we didn't have anymore. So we had like 5 songs. And so we're like, we're going to have to start filling up our set. Like we can't just play covers for the rest of the set.
Right.
So we started playing this song called High Hopes and everyone said they really liked it. At the time, Yours Truly, we wanted to be an easycore band. So it had a lot of like breakdowns in it. And yeah, so the whole ending of the song just had like one really long breakdown.
That's pretty sick.
We met a band called Forever NCR and they asked me to sing on one of their songs and I went into a studio with them and I tracked the song with a producer called Stevie Knight.
Yeah.
And at the end of that session, he said to me like, hey, I really like, you know, liked working with you. Do you have any songs that you want to produce? And I was like, we actually have this song called High Hopes. Maybe we can do that, which it's about time for us to do something else. And I remember sending him the demo and he was like, yeah, this is cool. Like, come in, like, let's, you know, mess around with it and see what happens. And so we all took, I think by the time we were still, I can't remember, some of us were still in school. So I think some people took time off, like, you know, school and like, and work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We were all like super young and we were like, we went into the studio and it was at, we were recording out of a studio with like, so many like bands in Australia had recorded out of, like, I know Tonight Alive had done stuff there. It's kind of like that studio and it's in Western Sydney, but like everyone in the country knows about it. So we were there, we tracked this song. Everyone was super excited with it. And we were like, we're just going to put it on YouTube, put it on Spotify and like see what happens. Like we didn't really have any kind of plan for it. But 2 days before we put it out, I sent it to Dreambound. And I was like, do you want to put this up? And they were like, yeah, like, sure. Like, we don't usually do this kind of thing, but I guess we'll make like an exception. But like, you know, we're gonna put it out in 2 months. And I was like, oh, it comes out on Spotify in 2 days. And they were like, well, we obviously don't usually do this either. Like, we usually like to have like, you know, we put it out first and the song comes out later, but we'll make an exception for this song because we know we've done a thing with you guys. And you know, obviously, like, we paid for it and stuff like that, just, like, full transparency, like, with those things, like, you usually have to pay for it.
Right.
And, yeah, so it came out on YouTube, and I think in 10 days it had, like, 100,000 views, which for us was just, like, I remember looking at this YouTube page and just, like, my mind was, like, blowing. Like, I can't believe so many people have seen this song. I know Dreambound has, like, a really big, like, fan base and a lot of followers, but, like, I don't know. It just had never happened for us like that before. Yeah. Like we'd never had that many people listen to our songs. And then I think like in like a month it had like a million views. So then all of a sudden we're getting emails from managers, from booking agents, from labels. And it's very like, it just changed like so quickly. We're getting
four
offers, like from one song, like, I remember talking to people from labels and then being like, I can't go on YouTube without seeing the thumbnail for this video come up on the side, like for me to watch it. Like everyone just kind of like saw it. I think to this day, like, I think it's got something like 8 million views or something like that.
Yeah. It's still your number one song on Spotify too, which is like pretty wild that there's just some like some, you know, like lightning in a bottle you had with that song. Like you said, it's the easiest song you've ever written. Like I think of an example like Today by the Smashing Pumpkins, which, you know, Billy Corgan said he wrote like literally in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or Paranoid by Black Sabbath, which was like they had the album done and the label was like, yeah, we need like a shorter song like for a single, and they just shit out Paranoid, you know, like crazy, you know, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
And like it's just there's something to be said for simplicity.
I definitely believe also in like that in like fate and stuff like that. And like sometimes things are just meant to happen. And like, you know, I think sometimes also like pushing something to work or to be good, like it, things are just meant to, you know, happen the way that they are. So I think that was definitely like what happened with that song. I'm really grateful for it. Sometimes I wish I would go back and change some of the lyrics, but you know,
here right. Of course. Of course. I know.
Yeah. I think it's going to be about that. There's so many songs that I think that with, but yeah, it just, everything changed really dramatically for us. And we were like all like graduating high school and we signed to UNFD. We had management that was in the UK and we had agents all over the world. And all of a sudden we were like full-time touring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot. Was that okay? Like, obviously you're so young and your parents are, it seems like you're very close with your parents.
Yeah.
And you know, they were driving you around, with your old band on tour. And I'm sure with Yours Truly in the early days too, like, were they like just hugely supportive of it? Were they trying to like kind of help you? Or are they still kind of helping you, like trying to navigate all this stuff? Just, I mean, I don't think they're, you didn't say anything about them being musicians themselves, but I mean, at least they're adults with experience in life, you know? I mean, that must have just been all such a whirlwind, especially like, you know, once you actually put out music and all the rest of it happened and you're getting nominated for awards and being played on Triple J radio and all that.
Yeah. No, they were super supportive. Like I said before, they've always just wanted me to work hard. That's just something that has been like, I don't know, taught to me since I was a child. So my thing is like, once I start something, like I just like, I have to see it through. So I think that like, if I do that, I know that like, they're going to be happy. And also I think the fact that like, I kind of like have now grown up with Teddy as well is another thing that like, we've done so much together. We've been around the world together. We've definitely been in a lot of unsafe situations together, but we've always like ended up fine. And, you know, we're still here. We're still alive. We're still doing it. So they're definitely not as stressed as maybe they were when I was, you know, traveling the world at 20.
Right.
But it definitely, it could have taken a bit of time. No, but they're super stoked and they still like, you know, just want me to keep doing it. I think that like, I've made it very clear to them that I've had a lot of like little jobs here and there, like, you know, in between touring and like, I'm so much happier when I am touring. Maybe it's, and I also think to myself sometimes, like, I don't really know anything different. Like I've been doing this since I was 15. I have been touring since I was 15. It's been 10 years of me doing this.
Yeah.
I don't really know what I would do if I wasn't doing this, but I guess I love it so much and I'm very lucky that I've had the opportunity to do what I have done and that I do get to do what I do. Like I feel super fortunate that I've done it. Like I'm 25 and I've done it for 10 years. Like I feel like that's, you know, not a lot of people get to say that about themselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just want to keep going and they know that I want to keep going and yeah.
For sure. No, that's...
I'm super grateful.
That's incredible.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So, you know, you have all this success out of the gate and it must feel like a little bit like surreal and, but also like things are happening so fast. It seems like everybody wants to work with you. And obviously like, I mean, like you're an amazing singer, like you're incredible. So I understand how this all happens and everything, you know, it's not like, well, this is just like, what the hell? Like you're really, really good at what you do, but
thank you.
But of course, like then 2020 happens.
Yeah.
Like it's just like everything you've worked your whole life for comes to this like fucking screeching halt. And from what I understand, your full-length record was already done before the pandemic started. But then all of a sudden, it's like, that just, you can't tour, you know, like releasing new music's weird because you can't promote it the same. And like, it's really, really, really bad. So walk me through that and how that kind of happened and how you made that full length, your only full length record so far, Self-Care and like, talk to me about that record and that whole experience in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things about what you just said. Like the fact that it is our only full-length record is because of, I guess, what happened during that time. We still feel like we're like playing a lot of catch-up.
Yeah.
Which I feel like everyone is really. Like, I feel like it was really shit for everyone. So we had this huge success from Afterglow. I mean, like huge success for like a band of our size. Like, you know, I guess it took us from, you know, playing shows in Australia to going overseas, which to us was like really like the only thing that we really wanted to do.
Afterglow was big for my band too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in the name.
Ed Sheeran. There's lots of afterglows, but
That's the secret. I think you need to do a record called Afterglow.
You need an afterglow and then people will like your band. That's right.
That happened. It was really good. And then all of a sudden we're working on this this full length record. And it was actually really hard because we had, you know, like I said before, that success with the last record. We wanted to obviously like outdo it in a way. There was a lot of pressure on us to kind of do High Hopes but better. And at that time, we didn't want to do High Hopes. We wanted to just be a pop punk band. Like I said before, like we all love Basement. We wanted to do something that was a bit more in like that alternative vein. So we were already in that, like, we want to change. So we wrote this record that's very, a lot lighter and a lot more pop than the past record, which I feel like in the terms of the lyrical content, it's definitely about the year that we had lived where, you know, things had changed for us and that, you know, we had a lot of imposter syndrome because all of a sudden we're on tour. Our first international show was Download in the UK.
Oh my God.
It was, yeah.
Oh man, that festival is like for people that don't know, it's just crazy. It's huge. It's in some ways a little disorganized. It's like, you know, it seems like it's always raining too. That's intense. Wow.
Yeah, it was definitely very strange to, you know, kind of, I'd never been to the UK before. I get there, we play Download in the morning. That night we drive to like Southampton and start tour with State Champs. We finish a tour with State Champs and then we go straight into a tour with Sum 41. So
wow.
That was, yeah, it was definitely this thing of just like, why are we here? Like, why are we doing this? These next songs we're writing, like, what if they're not good enough? And this is like the last time that we're going to be able to do this. So a lot of that record is about like the feelings of that. But I guess that when we finished the record, we all went out that night and the next morning we woke up and we were in lockdown. So it was very much
the next day.
The next day we were
like March 12th or whatever, 2020. That's insane.
Yeah. So it was just, yeah, we finished it and we're like, this is great. And the next morning we wake up and we're like, there's this thing called COVID.
It was called coronavirus back then. Yeah.
Yeah. That. And we were all just like, okay, like this is going to be done in a couple of months. Like it's fine. Like let's just like sit down and like focus on how we're going to roll this record and like just focus on that. And then I guess like as it like went on and on, we were like, oh, so this thing's sticking around for a while and we have this record done and we're trying to find ways that we can like release it whilst not being able to do anything because Australia was quite like was locked down for a very long time.
We
were doing music videos in the middle of like Sydney would kind of do this thing where it's like, okay, no one got COVID this week. Like you're allowed to be in groups of like five. So then like we'd get like four of us and like one videographer and we'd like get in a room. We're like, cool, there's five of us in here. We'll do a music video. And then like 2 days later, we're back into lockdown again. So we were just finding ways to do things like that. We definitely had a conversation of like, do we put this record out? And then I remember at the time we were all like, well, the lyrical content of this is like, you know, the album's called Self-Care and it's all about like taking care of yourself. And we kind of felt like it was pretty important for it to come out at the time, at least for us, like,
for sure,
you know, that, you know, the whole thing of like, you know, that things get better, I think was something that we all needed to hear. And I know that from putting out that record and playing it since and like, you know, touring it, people have come up to me and said that like that was the record that really helped them through COVID, which I think is like, you know, makes it all worth it regardless of how shit it was at the time.
Totally. Like that's the thing. And I've talked to a lot of artists about their experience during that time, but I don't think I've talked to anybody who actually put out their first album during it.
Yeah.
Because I bet there must have been a lot of disagreements in your, like, maybe not within your band, but maybe within your team as to, like, should we put this out? Do we need to wait? Like, is putting out this record when we can't tour, like, really stupid? Or is it, like, by the time you, well, like, you put it out, you're like, oh, well, we're going to put it out in September. Like, by then, everything will be fine. You know? There's, like, all these conversations I imagine happening. But also, the other side of the coin is that during that time, so many people were like bored sitting at home.
Yeah.
And all they had was like their Spotify account and they were trying to find new bands. So it might have been more beneficial in some ways.
I guess we'll never really know if we would have done it differently. But I guess one thing that I did realize from that time was that a lot of bands either didn't continue after COVID, and a lot of bands started during COVID. And I feel like that was the change of, I guess, how finding music and being in a band operated. I think it changed a lot because of COVID. I think there were a lot of bands that started and didn't know the version of being in a band, of putting out a song, touring. Like their thing was putting out a song, doing a video, you know, live streaming and stuff like that. And then those people were doing really well because that's just kind of how they knew to do it. Whereas we came from like a world where it was like I said to you before, like how I said that, like, you know, bands put out records and they do in stores and like then they tour it. And like, that was like in my head, that was what we were going to do for our first record. So we put out Self-Care. And I just don't know what to do because I just, you know, like, I'm just like, I don't know what we're supposed to do right now. And then, yeah, and I think, you know, we saw bands that, you know, did really well in COVID because they maybe had the skills to, you know, I don't know, like do like stuff from home or like, you know, do cool designs or like, you know, or lives in places where they were able to do things like differently to us. And then I think it was the thing of like, then we started feeling like pretty like, oh, like, are we going to make it through this? Like, are we going to, like, have we like had our moment and is it over? Cause you know, with TikTok and stuff like that, like people move so quickly and like, are we going to like, then all of a sudden it was like people saying to us, like, you need to keep up with the other bands that are like doing TikToks and where they're like, oh, we're not doing a TikTok. So, you know, we're not, but that's not us. So we're a pop punk band. Like we're not, you know, we're not going on the internet and dancing. Like there's no way. So
we were
very stubborn and we just wanted to do it the way that we imagined it to be done. And in a way I kind of regret that, like just being completely honest. But
as you are, you're always very honest. I appreciate that.
It's a thing of like, maybe, I guess, you know, there's only so much that we could do. Yeah, I think that my main downfall is I'm very stubborn. And I kind of just wanted to see things out and just start touring again, but that wasn't going to happen.
No, but nobody knew that though, really. Right. Like, I mean, we got pulled off the road, you know, March of 2020. And it was like, all we got to, it's like 10 days. This thing just lasts 10 days. All we got to do is stay at home for 10 days. It'll be gone. You know, like that was literally what we thought at the beginning of this, of that whole thing. And then it was like, I mean, it's still like a thing. Like, you know what I mean? There's still like problems. You know, a friend of mine just had COVID the other day. Like it's a thing still. So it's, you know, but yeah, I went a little off the rails there, but like, no, it's true that we just didn't know what was going to happen and you didn't know when the touring was going to resume.
No. And I can't imagine what it was like for you, like that was like your, I don't know, your whole career and that you had been doing it, like that's just like was normal for you.
Yeah, it was.
I can't imagine what like the uncertainty of that.
Yep.
When you've been doing it for so long.
Yep. No, I immediately got a TikTok account and started dancing on the internet. That's what I did right away. Well, the big question, I guess, that I have, and I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, is, you know, you've put out other music since that record. Like you've put out quite a bit, actually, singles and an EP and everything else.
Yeah.
But what about the big sophomore album, LP2? What's going on with this?
So, we're in the middle of it at the moment. Yours truly, we did a lot of touring when everything came back. So we were just so invested in getting back out there. We had this Is This What I Look Like EP come out like at the end of COVID. And we had two records that we hadn't toured yet. So we were very focused on doing that. We were getting lots of opportunities. And I think that we kind of just forgot that we had to, not that we forgot that we had to write, like we knew that we had to, but we were just so immersed in the fact that we were doing this again.
Of course. No, that's absolutely it. Like there's a lot of bands that have like, they'll between their first and second record, they'll be like a long time because it's going well, you know? And they're like, we can play here. We've never been here. We got to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, and then it's like, we've done all this. Well, now like we're going to do it again. But like last time we played it, Crowbar, you know, this time we're going to play at, you know, whatever other, you know, bigger Sydney venue there is or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Just an example.
Yeah.
So it makes complete sense.
And yeah, I think we're at that point now where I think we've got maybe 85% of a record done. It's just kind of like the last bits and pieces. I think that we had a really hectic year where we toured for like 18 months, like straight out of COVID. We all went to the UK.
Yeah.
We were, you know, Australia, like you couldn't do much in Australia. So we were like, we're just going to go to the UK and we're just going to tour in the UK for months and just see what happens. And we did that. Our drummer and our guitarist, they left the band. And then, so then it was just me and Teddy again.
Yeah.
And so then Teddy and I are there, you know, I guess trying to figure out like, you know, what does yours truly look like now? We've just been touring a lot and touring is not for everyone. It's not easy. And we were like, cool, let's just go home. Let's go back to Australia and let's have a second and let's start writing. And so that's kind of where we have been for the past couple of months. And yeah, in those months, like, you know, like I said, we've got like 85% of a record.
Yeah.
We actually have a new single coming out next month.
Awesome.
So it all kind of like ready to start again, you know, ready to, you know, been through all the things, gone through all the heartache, really felt the effects of being away from home and, you know, being on totally. The road for 18 months and then.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
No. Sorry. I'm just listening to what you're saying, but you know, I have that in my list of questions is, you know, for Australian bands, I think the burnout is more real than bands maybe from other places because you're so far away from everything. Like you start every tour with a jet lag.
Yeah.
You know, like a bad one.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of have to overcome that. And then so many bands, especially, you know, smaller bands when they're starting out and probably you guys too, it's like you a lot of times you'll do a tour right into another tour just because it's so expensive to fly you and all your shit back to Australia just to like, okay, 2 weeks later, we're going to go on another tour. But it's like, some bands like really count on that 2 weeks to like go back home to like, you know, see your loved ones and like normalize your life again.
Yeah.
Because like there's been so many bands, like the one I think of was Closure in Moscow. I don't know if you remember this band.
Mm-hmm.
Australian band, fucking terrific band. They came over to the US and they did like a whole album. And then, you know, to save money, they just went right back into a tour with us.
Yeah.
And like halfway through the tour, they were so burnt out. they like freaked out. Like they went, they had to go home. Like they couldn't handle it anymore.
Wow.
So I just imagine that that could be so much more of a grind for Australians. And especially a lot of Australians are used to really short tours because Australia is so small,
yeah.
you know, in terms of how many markets you can play.
That's the thing about Australian touring. It's short, but it is tiring. It's like yeah. if you're driving, the shortest drive is 8 hours. That's the shortest. And you have to, like, if you're playing like every single day, like you're essentially just driving overnight and then getting to the venue, like full load in, playing and then getting
yeah.
the car and driving overnight again. And then if you're flying to get a cheap flight, you've got to get like the 6 a.m. flight. So Ugh. You're loading out and getting into your wherever you're staying at 2 a.m. and then you're up at 4.
Fuck that.
So yeah, like I'm sure like, you know, like yeah, I know you're here now. So you probably know like the feeling of like.
Oh yeah, we got the cushy 1 p.m. flight today to Perth. So yes, we're.
Oh, that's. But that's a long flight. So it's not that fun. But
no, it's not great.
I think that, yeah, when we went to the UK for the first time, I don't remember. We woke up one morning. I told Madge, I was like, oh, I got a long one today. It's 5 hours. And we were just like, that's fine. We are so okay with that. But
okay. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you are tough and Australians are tough.
But I think it teaches you how to be tired, I guess. But at the same time, like the first time we went to America, we definitely like had moments when we were like, oh, like we're on to week 5 and we've still got like a week and a half left. And like,
yeah.
We're tired now. Like we thought that we'd be fine, but you know, I think when I guess as an Australian band, you're not really used to doing it
no.
that long. But I think that, like you said, to save money, we've done like UK, like we did like UK tour and then flew to America, like did America, like. And it's just so that like you don't have to come home, and like sometimes the baggage fees are like,
ugh.
I think we got like $7,000 once to fly out from home.
Oh my god!
And it was just like, and also like it feels so defeating, like when you finish the tour and you're tired and you get to the airport and they're like, that would be $7,000, and you're just like, oh my god, like that's like more than what we made on this tour, and like. We had to spend so much money just to even like drive around this country.
I know.
And it's cost us more than anything just to be here.
it's amazing. I know. It's amazing how much equipment we've bought because it can fit in a case and be under 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, oh, which brand are we going to buy? We're going to buy the one that is light.
Yeah.
So that it's yeah. like, you know, 23 kilograms for same thing as 50 pounds. It's like the weight for a checked bag. So you don't have to pay an yeah. overage fee. You know, it's like that is such a common thing because, yeah, man, the baggage fees are a fucking killer. Like they can be terrible.
It's one of those things that like, it's so fun doing it, but especially like as a musician, like, you never see the money. And I think it gets to that point where like, it's, you're not doing it for money and stuff like that. But when you're seeing how much you have to pay and then the fact that like you can't work when you're on tour and then you're coming home and then like there's been times when like I've come back from a tour and I've gone to work the next day and I've just been like, oh, this would be nice if the band had some money.
Well, I mean, you're still on your first record, right? And
you're
still doing a lot of support slots and stuff like that. You know, but
no,
it's going to happen, you know, you're going to keep putting out music, you're going to keep growing and, yeah. And then you're going to get super rich and wealthy and buy multiple properties.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm in the right genre for that, but, but I guess we don't do it for that. We don't do it for the like. I think that yeah. If I wanted to have that, I would probably not do music. But I'm grateful to be here and I'm grateful to do it. I think there are times when like you have to like spend. You have to pull out the band card and you're just like, oh, this hurts just to send my bags home.
Oh my god, yeah, that's tough. I mean, yeah, I guess you're not going to tour with a carry-on suitcase for 5 weeks in the U.S., but. Yeah, mm-hmm. You gotta make some sacrifices. Yeah, I know, right?
I can't wear the same thing twice.
Oh, damn. Wow.
No, we did this tour and it was like, it was in America and it was like 6 weeks. And I remember someone on the tour said to me, they're like, how do you wear a different outfit every night? And I'm like, well, the thing is, there's a thing called mixing and matching. And you think I have a different outfit on every night, but I don't. And that's the magic.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm totally happy to wear the same thing every day for me. that's like one less stressful thing to think about, you know, for me. But
yeah,
but I mean, I know it's, you know, it's a big part of what you do and what you want to be. So I totally love that. That's how you express yourself, right?
Thanks.
Right. I guess yeah. I'm putting words in your mouth, I guess, but you know,
no, I think that like when we first started this band, it was like, we play pop punk and we wear band shirts and stuff. And I think that like, as I guess, like, I think with like a lot of bands that I know, like a lot of my friends, like, you want to put on a show, and like as you like as the band continues, and you want people to watch you and feel like, I don't know, like they're watching something that's, I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, like I guess like a performance,
right?
And I see like, you know, like yours truly changing into a thing when like it's, you know, it's still us and it's still very honest, and it's, the songs are about things that we've gone through, but at the same time, like putting on like something and getting ready to go on stage, I feel like for Teddy and I, like it feels like it's like a second person, and it gives us like a confidence that like maybe we don't really have like in our everyday lives. Like I'm quite quiet and like, I don't, you know,
yeah,
can be quite shy. But then I think once you like get like, you know, you get dressed up and you like get into like your character almost thing, and then you walk on stage and it's like, yeah, it's like this whole like newfound confidence.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, it's been so good to have you on the show. I feel like we could just keep talking like for another half an hour or longer. You're absolutely amazing, and you're so well spoken and so honest. I really do appreciate you doing this.
No, I really appreciate it so much. I've always wanted to do this. It's like I only follow one podcast and it's this. So
really?
Aww. I'm sorry if I sound weird, because I've been sitting here all morning like really nervous.
No, it's been great. It's been so good. Well, before I let you go, tell the people what you guys have coming up. I know you're going to Indonesia, so if anyone's listening to this in Indonesia, go to the Aroma Fest. Mm-hmm. But what else do you have coming up?
We have a new single coming out in November. I think it will be November. If it's not, then I never said anything. we are playing a show in Melbourne, also in November, with Ocean Grove and Young Lions and Heaven She. And I think it's also Chasing Ghosts.
Wow.
Australian Music T-shirt Day, which we raise money for Support Act, which is a really good support for artists in Australia. So that should be really exciting to play with a whole bunch of friends.
It's incredible. I actually played golf with one of the guys in Ocean Grove yesterday.
Really?
So, and your manager, Caleb.
Hell yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Very good.
So, no, it's friends of mine too. I love to see that. That's amazing. And then, so the single is coming and the record is getting there. So
the record's getting there. Yeah.
Yes. And then I assume you're probably going to be doing a whole bunch more tours as well, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. I think next year is going to be nice and busy for us. And I'm really excited for, I don't know, like after everything like kind of like that I just spoke about, like I'm so ready for like the next chapter. And there's a lot of energy here that I'm ready to, I don't know, be able to share with everyone.
I love it so much. Well, Michaela, thank you again so much for doing this. I'm going to leave the people with a Yours Truly tune. Do you got a favorite?
Probably Walk Over My Grave.
Walk Over My Grave. Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So there is music from yours truly and Walk Over My Grave. I am excited for new yours truly music. I know some stuff is coming. Super stoked. And I want to thank Michaela and her manager, Caleb, also for hooking it up, making it happen while I was down under. And man, I had a great time down there too. Thanks to everybody that came out to the shows and all the people I talked to. It was terrific. And I cannot wait to go back. I'm really still suffering from the jet lag. That's for sure. But I love, absolutely love being in Australia. It's 100% worth it. Next week, I'll be on tour, but we'll also be back with another episode. So yeah, come see me on tour, okay? Get your tickets, silversteinmusic.com. Cannot wait. All right, peace and love. We'll see you next time.